Man, it's good to see you guys tonight. We are so thankful that you're here to worship Jesus Christ, our Savior, tonight. And, you know, at the end of the service tonight, we're going to have a special lighting. Man, we're going to light this auditorium up with candlelight. It's going to be beautiful. And, you know, I was thinking about this light. You got the candle shop here, and I thought, light is a wonderful gift from God. Would y'all agree with that? Can you imagine if we didn't have light? Imagine trying to live your life in total darkness. It'd be impossible, right? I mean, I can't even get to the bathroom in the dark without hurting myself, you know. I mean, if the room is dark and I'm trying to move around, someone's going to get hurt. I guarantee you. It's going to be me or I'm going to hurt somebody for sure. And light is a great gift. And tonight, you know, we saw the candle maker. And his business is light. And he said, you know, you brought me light, he told the guy. You brought me light today. What did he mean by that? Well, think about it. The guy really just shared the Bible with him, and it enlightened him on some things, didn't it? His attitude was, man, I don't need a Messiah. Kind of arrogant, you know. I don't need a Savior. You know, I got the Ten Commandments, and I keep the Ten Commandments. And so I'm just fine. I don't need this Messiah. I don't need a Savior. And you know, the thing is, that's not just a skit. You think there are people like that today? Oh, yeah. They think they keep the Ten Commandments, right? Or they think they keep them better than most people do, and so they think they're okay. You know, and the tour guide, or the guy that's talking to the candle maker there, he ingeniously plays right along with this, and he's like, okay, so you keep the Ten Commandments. Oh, wow, well, let's talk about that. He's like, and he quotes one of the Ten Commandments. He says, tell me, David, you ever lied? What if somebody asked you that tonight? Have you ever lied? Now, don't lie about it. I think every one of us in here would have to say what? Yep, yep. And so, there's one of the ten. And then he says, have you ever taken something that didn't belong to you? And again, that was one of the Ten Commandments, right? And what if somebody asked us that? You know, what if somebody said, you ever take something that didn't belong to you? Doesn't matter how small. Right? I mean, stealing, you know? And so it's like, did you ever take something that didn't belong to you? Well, I think probably most of us, again, guilty, right? We got back extra money through the drive-thru and we knew it, didn't return it, right? Or, we took something from work we shouldn't have, or you ever borrow something and forget to return it? Yeah. And so, you know, again, there we go, second one. And then he quoted a third commandment. He said, have you ever taken God's name in vain? Have you ever used God's name in a careless, flippant, empty, meaningless way? Have you ever taken the precious name of the Lord, Jesus or God, and just used that name flippantly? And the candle maker kind of got nailed on every one of those, didn't he? I mean, his sister kind of told on him there. And, it's kind of funny. We may be able to fool a lot of people, but our family knows us pretty good, amen? And so our family, like the sister there, she's nailing the brother, right, you know? And our family knows us pretty good. We can't fool them most of the time. And the thing is, he says, that's just three of them, David. There's seven more, right? That's just three of the Ten Commandments. It's like he didn't even hit on the one about desiring something that belongs to somebody else. That's called coveting. That's one of the Ten Commandments. You know, you want someone else's, you secretly want their position at work, or you want their job, or you want their money, or you want the house, you want their car, you covet after, you want their spouse, you know, and you covet their spouse. And it's like, that's coveting, see? And that's one of the Ten Commandments. Some of you are in here are probably like, wait a minute now, I know one of them commandments there is that you shouldn't take anybody else's life. And you say, whoo, whoo, I'm good there, amen. I got one of them down. I have never murdered. I've never killed anybody. Hold on, time out. You're not going to believe this. The Bible says in the New Testament, It raises the bar, and it says if you hate another person in your heart, you're a murderer in God's eyes. Oh, no. There goes that one too, right? Because most of us have had hatred in our heart for another person at some point in our life. So by the end of the conversation there, the candle maker was like, maybe I better rethink this. You know, maybe I do need a Savior. Maybe I do need somebody to save me from my sins, because I'm not doing too good, you know, with these commandments. And I think we can all relate to the candle maker, can't we? We realize that our righteousness can't compare to God's. In fact, look at the screen and look at this verse in Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. In other words, nobody is perfect. Nobody does the right thing every time. Nobody can claim to have done the right thing and made the right decision every single time in their life. There's none righteous like God, no, not one. Would you all agree with that? Amen? All right. Look at this verse. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned, and we've all, notice that phrase, it says we've all come short of the glory of God. That the glory of God, if you look that up, the glory of God is Jesus. He was the only begotten of the Father and revealed His glory. So Jesus is the glory of God. And there is none of us that can say that we are as good as Jesus Christ. You know, hey, if you're comparing yourself with me, you might come out pretty good. You might not, but you probably would. You might come out all right. And if you're comparing yourself with your spouse or your neighbor, you might come out okay. But would you guys agree when we're all compared to Jesus, we all come up short, amen? We all come up short. And that's what that means. We've all come short of the glory of God. And it's really irrelevant how short we've come. We've all come up short. It's irrelevant whether you know, who's come up the most short. It's kind of like if I was to say, hey, we're going to have a contest. We're going to stand up on this rail right here, and we're going to have a contest, and whoever can, Clayton, Matt, you're very athletic. And I said, Matt, I'm going to have a contest with you, Matt. We're going to both stand up on the railing, and whoever can jump from off the railing and can hurdle the entire platform and land on the carpet over there, they're the winner. Y'all want to see that tonight, don't you, right? Well, guess what? You're not seeing that tonight. All right, but we're going to jump from here, and whoever can get to the carpet wins. They win the prize. Now, I'm in decent shape. Matt's probably in real good shape. And you know what? He may be able to jump a little bit further than me. I'm sure he could. But guess what? We're both coming up short. Neither one of us, would you agree with that, Matt? Neither one of us is jumping from there over to here. So it's really irrelevant how short. We both come up short. Neither one of us wins the prize. We've all come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. And there are two lights. Tonight we've kind of focused on light. We've sung about light. We've had the candle shop scene. We're going to do candles at the end. And so the focus of our service tonight kind of revolves around light. And there are, and we're going to learn something. You ready? There are two marvelous lights that God has provided for us to show us the way out of darkness and into His kingdom of light. There's two lights God's given you. Number one, you ready? You're going to remember this tomorrow, right? I said you're going to remember this tomorrow, right? All right, number one is the light of His Word. Say that with me, the light of His Word. Right, look at the screen, I'll show you. Okay, bring up the verses. It says, Thy Word, the Bible, is a lamp unto my feet and a what? light unto my path. So the Bible's a light. What does that mean? Well, we'll talk about that in a minute, but let's go to the next one. It says, the entrance of your words, God, gives what?
Light.
It gives understanding unto the simple. Let's go to the next one. It says in Psalm 19:8, the statutes of the Lord, talking about the Bible, right? The commandments of God, they are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord, the Bible, is pure. And then what's that last phrase? Enlightening the eyes. So do you guys see the first light is the light of His Word? God gave us His Word, and specifically, He gave us the Ten Commandments to show us that we need help outside of ourselves if we're ever to live in God's presence. God's Word, the Bible, shines light upon us, and it reveals our true condition. The candle maker there in that scene, he's a little arrogant, kind of full of himself, you know, until the light of God's Word shone upon him. And then he realized his need. And that's what the Bible does. It's a light that shows us our true condition. And here's what it does, really. Because, see, some people are cocky, arrogant, full of themselves, and they think, I don't need a Savior. I don't need God. I can make it on my own. And the Bible says, well, wait a minute. What are you going to do about your sin? Because we're all sinners. We've all come up short. And the Bible's what shows us that. See, look at this verse up here. Let's bring it up. It says, now we know that what things soever the law, Ten Commandments, says, it says to them who are under the law. Notice, why did He give those commandments? That every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become what?
Guilty.
Before God, we see our guilt. See, we see our need. And then it says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, by your works, shall no flesh be justified in His sight. Remember, we've all come up short. For by the law, the Bible, the Ten Commandments, is the, say it with me, the what? Knowledge of sin, right? That's how it shines light, and it shows me. So none of us can save ourselves, because at the end of the day, we're all in the same boat. We're sinners. We're all in the same boat. We are all sinners. We've all come up short. Now remember, though, how many lights did I say we were going to talk about tonight? Two. What was the first one? The light of His Word. Here's the good news. The second light is the light of Jesus Christ. Isn't that what we're here to celebrate tonight? Man, this is going to get good. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. She just sung about it. In the Bible says this, in Jesus was life. And the Bible says the life was the light of men. And the light, talking about Jesus, shines in darkness. And then it says Jesus was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. The Word of God, I want you to picture this, okay? Look up here. The Bible, the Word of God is like a light, right? It really reveals the true condition of my heart and how sinful I am. But then the Bible points me to the answer to my sin, and that's Jesus Christ. He's the light of the world. So it shows me my need and then points me to the solution. Jesus is God's only answer for sin. Some people think, well, if I join the church, I'll be all right. And, you know, if I'm better than most people, I'll be okay. You know, if I keep the Ten Commandments, I'll be all right. Well, we've already seen nobody does that. You know, and what I want you to see tonight, and what I really want you to take away from this, there's a reason why Jesus was born. Jesus is God's only answer for sin. So what do you mean? The Bible says, listen to this, you ready? You want to know why He was born in Bethlehem? I'll give you a verse. You ready? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Would y'all say that's good news, huh? Amen. He came to save sinners. Man, that's good news, because what did we say earlier? How many of us are sinners? All of us. So if Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and all of us are sinners, then how many people can be saved? Everyone, all. Man, that's good news. If you want to know why we celebrate His birth, that's why. God set a plan of salvation in motion that day in Bethlehem. God made a way for sinners like you and me to be forgiven and to be restored to a right relationship with Himself. And how did Christ make that possible? Well, here's how He did it. He was born for that right there. It was already purposed. God already knew it. Jesus knew it. He was born to die. He gave Himself to die for our sin on that cross. And there He made a complete and a final payment for the sins of all mankind. If you'll look up at the screen, look at this verse. It says that God committed. That just means He fully demonstrated His love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, look at that. While we were yet sinners, say it with me, Christ died for us. He died for us. Look at this verse, 1 Peter 3:18. Let's bring it up. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just, Jesus, for the unjust. That's us. Why did He do that? What's that verse say? That He might bring us to God. See, He was put to death in the flesh, but quickened. He was made alive. He resurrected. Hey, aren't you thankful? This isn't Easter, but aren't you glad He rose from the dead? Amen? And there you have it. Christ died so that we could live. He took the death that we deserve. He died in our place. And when He rose again 3 days later, He proved that His death was sufficient. It was satisfactory to the Father. And now, because it was satisfactory, because He was born, because He came into the world to save sinners, because He did everything necessary to save sinners, now He can offer us the gift of eternal life. Amen. Woo! Yes. He offers us, we talk about gifts at Christmas. How many of you guys got all your gift shopping done? If you don't have it done by now, oh boy, you're in trouble, amen? Amazon can't even help you tonight, amen? I want to show you guys a verse that goes right along with Christmas. You ready? It says, let's bring it up. It says this, when we talked about this, the wages of sin... How many of us are sinners? What's the wages of sin? Death. But, woo, praise the Lord, but the gift of God is eternal life. How do I get it? There it is, right? Isn't that clear? Clear as the nose on your face. God says, I want to give you the gift of eternal life. It's a gift of God, and it comes through Jesus Christ. You just receive Jesus, and you get the gift. Think about this. How does a gift become yours personally? You just, just receive it. I said to the church yesterday, I said to you guys, those of you who are here remember this, I said that the only way to mess up a gift is to reject it. Just walk away and say, nope, I don't want it. And just turn away from it, reject it, and just say, nope, I don't want it. That's the only way to mess up a gift. Because a gift, by the very meaning, means that somebody already purchased it, somebody already provided it, someone is offering it to you. All that's left is for you to take it and receive it. Eternal life is the what? What does it say? It's the gift of God. It's a gift of God. God says, here it is. My Son did everything necessary for me to give you this gift. The only way to mess that up is to say, no, I'm good. I don't need your gift. I don't need you, Jesus. I'm good. I don't need you in my life. I don't need you in my heart. I got this. The only way to turn away, the only way to not get that eternal life is to just reject the gift. Which really means rejecting Christ. That's it. That's the only way. And all you have to do is receive Him. Open up your heart and receive Him. Look at this verse on the screen. It says here that It says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, just admit that you need him. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be what? Saved. It's that simple. You just receive him. When you trust Christ, immediately you're taken out of Satan's kingdom of darkness and you're given a place in Christ's kingdom of light. Immediately. The moment you trust Christ, immediately. The moment you receive Jesus into your heart, immediately you're taken out of Satan's kingdom of darkness, you're put in his kingdom of light. Immediately. In fact, look at this verse on the screen here. It says that God has delivered us from the power of darkness. He's translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. In Christ we have redemption through his blood, what he did for us, the forgiveness of sins. And so, Christ came into the world there in Bethlehem on a mission. He said he came to save sinners. He wants you in his family. He wants to give you the gift of eternal life. The only way to not get it is you just refuse the gift. But tonight, if you're like me and the light kind of turned on tonight, because some of you are like I was, you had this whole thing kind of mixed up. You were thinking you had to be good enough. We already established. Some may jump a little further, but we've all come short. None of us are going to be good enough to get to heaven, right? We're all sinners. So at the end of the day, we're all in the same boat. So the light maybe came on tonight, and you're like, okay, I get this now. Eternal life in heaven is a gift. Jesus already provided everything for me. I just need to receive him. But you do have to make it, you know, a gift. By definition, if a gift is going to be received, you know, you have to take it. You have to receive it. So tonight, God wants you to receive that gift. Wouldn't it be great, Christmas Eve, if some of you here tonight would just open up the door of your heart and receive that gift of eternal life? Just receive Christ. In fact, let's just right now give you a chance to do that. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes.